The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snow already on the North Shore, Baton Rouge, heading this way, and my iPhone shows me that it's snowing in Baton Rouge right now, at least in Belchase right now. I'm not there, so I wouldn't know. It is 29 degrees. There is a 70% chance for snow all the way through, let's say, maybe 4 o'clock today, and then it decreases at 5 o'clock. Andy Smith joins us now, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. It's cold, and Andy and I have known each other for decades, and we've always talked about presidential elections and so forth. We always talk about the weather as well. Andy Smith, it might be colder there, but I'll tell you what, and I didn't think I'd ever say this, you're not getting the snow we're getting today.
That's an unfortunate thing for the skiers up here, but good luck with that. Stay at home. You guys don't have the resources to be able to deal with the snow, so stay off the roads if
well,
you can.
Well, we're going to be skiing down, doing some slaloming down the Mississippi River levees here is what we're going to be doing.
So get the sleds out.
Let me tell you something. I was watching the inauguration yesterday. I got some texts from some friends, and one neighbor told me, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I was delivering some firewood that everybody gets all caught up and all spun up in this, and they remember that when President Obama was elected, he sat down at the desk and started signing executive orders, and he said, and this is an older man, he said he thought the country was finished, that was it, that a new regime was taken over, democracy was dead. And I'm not comparing Obama to Trump, but I think whenever there is a change in the White House, the people whose person didn't win tend to think that the darkest days of the country are ahead and everybody needs to take a breath. Your thoughts on this?
I think you're exactly right, that the institutions of the United States, the way the government is structured, both at the federal level, but between the states and the federal government, and the way that the laws work, they're designed to go slow, so it's very difficult for any president to come in and rapidly change things, and especially if things were passed as laws rather than executive orders. That's the thing that we've seen a lot of focus on, is the executive orders, which kind of have the force of law, but they don't stand up after that president is out of office. And those are the things that we saw yesterday that the press is making a lot of.
As far as Donald Trump, he is who he is. So I don't know if people were expecting anything different yesterday, but I don't know why they would. He's not been known to be the most polite of people or the most deferential of people. And did anything in the inaugural address or the speeches after surprise you at all?
Not really. I thought it was a little bit over the top when he was going after the previous administrations without naming them specifically. But Joe Biden sitting right next to him during that, having to listen to all that whole litany of perceived sins and ills that had gone on during his administration. So that was maybe a little bit unfair.
But it goes to politics where, you know, you have tea before and everything's all nice. Then you sworn in, you turn around, you shake his hand, and you proceed to throw him under the bus. But that's just politics, right?
It is. Politics ain't beanbag, as they say.
No, and Donald Trump's not been known to be the most tactful person when it comes to things like that. But again, he is who he is. The country voted. Elections have consequences. So for people that are optimistic about the president, a Trump presidency, what are the keys to him having success in getting his agenda through? Is it the first 2 years?
Oh, yeah. First 2 years, I think, are really key because historically the president's party loses seats in Congress the first midterm. So you really have about a year and a half, actually, and that's about it. So he's got to get things done right away. And I think the things that he can do first that will have the greatest impact to his supporters would be things regarding immigration. I think that he's got the political support for that, both on the certainly on the Republican side, but a lot on the Democratic side as well, to tighten up immigration. The most important thing that he can do, though, or he can take credit for, is the improvement of the economy. And that's something that's going to be a little bit more difficult, but getting inflation down is something that the Biden administration wasn't really able to do, and it's going to be just as difficult for the Trump administration to do that as well. And that, I think, is going to be the biggest thing that's going to weigh heavy on voters coming ahead in both 26 and 28.
That was my thought as I was watching him talking about the economy, because I talked to a guy who is a pretty ardent Republican yesterday, a professor of economics and finance, and I asked him to rate the economy where it stands now, a scale of 1 to 10, everything, you know, because the economy is a complicated thing, factored in, where would you say the economy is that Biden is handing over to Trump? And he said 8 out of 10. So if that's the case, then I'm looking at, I don't know if you're not an economist, I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but then I'm looking at yesterday Trump's speech, and he's talking about bringing prices down, and I'm saying, hang on there, I don't know how you could do that. I guess he's got a plan, and he made a linkage toward oil prices and so forth, and there could be some connection there, but you don't want to get out over your skis on the first day, do you?
Well, you really don't, but then again, are people going to remember what he said in his inaugural address or the speeches afterwards in another 6 months? And I'd say probably not. They're kind of like campaign promises or the promises that you hear on during a president's State of the Union address. There's a lot of wistfulness that goes on in a lot of these discussions.
And the other thing I thought of when it comes to 4 years from now, if you're a Republican, you're going to think the economy, good or bad, is all the Democrats' fault. And if you're a Democrat, if the economy is good or bad, you're going to think it's all because of the – if it's bad, you think it's the other party. If it's good, you think it's your party, right?
We see the world in rose-colored glasses or blue glasses. So, yes, we do. That is a phenomenon that's there. We rate the world. We rate the things we see around us through those partisan lenses.
Thank you, Andy. We'll talk again soon. I got to get my sled ready for the levee, okay?
Put your gloves on.
I will. Thank you, sir. One of them. I don't know where the other one is. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. We'll talk to Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Get an update on the snow when we come back. 6:30 time now, WWL First News.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.